Let's say it. Say, I am filled with the knowledge of His will.
I am filled with the knowledge of His will.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I
bear fruit in every respect. And I increase in the knowledge of God. I am strengthened by His glorious might. And I'm attaining to all steadfastness. In the name of Jesus Christ. Declare like you believe it, as the word of God is coming forth. I have understanding.
I have quick understanding.
I have wisdom.
I discover the will of God.
Say it, I discover the will of God.
Say, my heart is corrected.
My mind is enlightened.
I am not, and for that reason,
I am not conformed to this world.
I am transformed
because of the enlightenment of my mind.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
All right, let's start today. Let's continue what we have been discussing on how to bless your descendants, how to bless your offspring, how to bless your children. Remember, it's our school of prayer, and we are learning the proper way to do the praying that God expects us to do. Don't ever forget it. The Bible says that men ought always to pray and not to get tired. And many things that God will want to do on this earth, He will not be able to do them except we pray effectively. That's the word, effectively, about them. Very important. And I will say last time, we've been talking about it for some days now, that when we come to preparing a brilliant future for our children, we are to be careful as children of God not to go about it the way of the world. What is the way of the world? Save up money for them. Keep your money in the bank. Invest their money in property. Buy shares. Do this. All right? Get them a very good education. Send them to an expensive school. Send them to a school abroad. All right? That's one way. Another way, people say, okay, when you're about to have the children, have them in a foreign country. Even if you can't afford it, sell your father's land. You understand? Take a loan from the bank just so that your wife can deliver in America so that you can see your children are American citizens. Why do you go through that? Remember, I said that the amount of effort you put into something shows the amount of faith that you have. Remember, as a child, as a Christian, there is nothing that you do that is innocent. All right? It's either a sign of faith or a sign of what? Unbelief. That's the way it is. Everything you do is either a sign of faith or a sign of unbelief. You can't say, let's just be sure. Once you start saying, let's just be sure, in matters like that, you're already putting your faith in something else rather than putting your faith in God. All right, so one of the ways people do that, okay, so let me go and have my children somewhere so I can give the child a brilliant future. There's nothing wrong with having your children anywhere. If you can travel to the moon to have your child, it's all well and good. Are you getting my point? Maybe your wife is an astronaut and then she went into labor while exploring Mars. It makes no difference. All right? Then you have a true alien of his child. There's no problem with that. Okay? The Lord is good. In the same manner, you can have your child in Australia, you can have him in Nigeria, you can have her in Ghana, you can have her in South Africa, in Botswana, in Rwanda, in Malawi, Syria alone, Ukraine, all right? North America, that's United States, Canada, Mexico, all right? Even in Brazil during the World Cup, there's no problem with that, really. No, I want to emphasize that. Please, I don't want people to think that I'm just criticizing some things. No, it is a faith that I'm dealing with. I'm teaching the word of God. I'm dealing with matters of what? Faith. Matters of faith. If you want your child to have a brilliant future, you must handle it spiritually. If you want your children to have a bright destiny, you must handle it spiritually. We are Christians, and because of our faith, all right, by that faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that what we see did not come out of the things that are visible. What does that mean? It means that if my child, all right, my offspring, my children are going to have a brilliant destiny, it's not going to be because of what we can see, it's going to be because of what we cannot see. And we have already looked from the life of Isaac, that Isaac said to Jacob, to Esau concerning Jacob, he said, I have made him your master. I have made all his siblings, all right, all his relatives, I've made them his servants. I have sustained him with grain and with new wine. How did he do that? He sat him down and he prophesied the blessing of God upon him. We said the blessing of God makes rich, all right, and does not add sorrow. The blessing of God is not just a blessing from God. It's a spiritual substance that is in the mouth of covenant parents. I said that before.
It's not just a blessing from God. It's a spiritual substance, all right, that covenant parents carry, and they can impact into the lives of their children. And those are the things we have been looking at. We've already explained the fact that you should give your children prophetic names, and don't forget to continually sustain them. We stopped somewhere. I want to pick up from there. All right, let's read a few portions of the scriptures just to start that one out. First of all, Psalm 87. Now, I'm going to read that, first of all, from... I'm going to read my usual one. I'll read from King James, and then I'll read the Message Bible. And there's a reason, because it's a bit tricky to interpret it, but you'll be able to get the sense I'm bringing out of it. Psalm 87. First of all, let me start reading from New American Standard, then I'll read the King James. All right. His fountain is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the other dwelling places of Jacob. He said, glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. In verse 4, he says, I shall mention Rahab and Babylon among those who know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. Now, this is like talking about the prominent economies, the powerful countries at that time. He said, this one was born there. Verse 5, but of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. And the Most High will establish her. He said, verse 6, the Lord will count when he registers the peoples. This one was born there. That is, you make a special mark when he registers the inhabitants of the earth, and say, this fellow is a citizen, all right, of Zion. He said, then those who sing as well as those who play the flute shall say, all my springs of joy are in you, that is, in Zion. Now, let me just start from the King James quickly. He said, let me just start from verse 4. I will mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This one was born there. And of Zion shall be said, this and that were born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this one was born there. Now let me stop here and now read from the Message Bible. I wanted the Living Bible, but it's a Bible I hardly read, so I didn't have it anywhere. All right? Okay, so I have it on my computer at home, but I didn't come with it. So this is the closest I could find to what I was trying to get out of it. From the Message Bible, it said, he founded Zion on the holy mountain. And oh, how God loves his home. Loves it far better than all the homes of Jacob put together. God's hometown, oh, everyone there is talking about you. I named them off, those among whom I'm famous. Egypt and Babylon, also Philistia, even Tyre, along with Cush. Words getting around. They point them out. This one was born again here. So the words getting out on Zion. Men and women, right and left, get born again in her. Verse 6, God registers their names in his book. This one, and this one, born again, right here. Singers and dancers give credit to Zion. All my springs are in you. Let me explain this so that we can get it clear. Remember, we are believers in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not talking to unbelievers. I am not interested in getting into arguments on statistics. Statistics, you know, let me just drop this quickly, okay? Just quickly. So that you know that a lot of our opinions are influenced by what we hear in the news. If you look in the international stage right now, look in Europe, there's somebody what's that European angle. Okay, you know Ukraine. There's a problem going on in Ukraine right now, right?
Yes.
If you are aware enough of what's going on, what happened? A plane was shot down, MH17, Malaysian Airlines. And who shot it down? Vladimir Putin. It's not Putin, but it's the rebels. All right, in Ukraine, that everybody we accepted that they shut it down. But I thought to myself, you know, everybody was angry. What's wrong with this Putin man? I was about to get angry with him, and I said, wait, is it because you watch CNN? and BBC World. You know, that's the angle you are looking at it from. Do you understand? I'm not saying what happened was right or wrong. I'm just trying to bring an issue here. I had to restrain myself in my anger. That maybe that guy is a man of God. You get my point? Yes, maybe he's a man of God. And God planted him there to be a thorn in the flesh of the Europeans and the Americans. And after I thought about it, I had to relax. I'm not saying the shooting down of the plane was good. Actually, maybe it was an accident, all right? Somebody didn't know what he was doing. But, you see, I'm careful to judge with righteous judgment. If you stand before God today, I'm sure that man is more righteous than Barack Obama. I'm sure of that one. Yes. After all, Vladimir Putin still calls an abomination what God calls an abomination. And Barack Obama says God does not know what he's talking about. The Bible is outdated, and God should go and read some science. Yes, that's Barack Obama's perspective. Now you get my point. All right? So I'm just... this is the reason I'm saying this. A lot of our thinking is actually formed by what we watch on TV. All right? So that's why Al Jazeera was started. Al Jazeera was started by the Arabs just to counteract the dominance of the Western media. Hear our own side of the story. That's why they started it. Okay? Now, the Lord is good. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying that. When people want to make plans, okay, therefore, these are the things that form what we brag about. And as Christians, that's what I'm talking about. We have is, you know, we should be careful that the media do not decide what we think about life. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Many places they paint for you that is a beautiful place to stay in may not be as fine as you think. Why am I saying this? Let me just explain this portion of the scriptures, okay? Then we'll see how it applies to us. What happened here was that what was the psalmist here saying? It was explaining something about human nature, and it's like that till today, and you find it, even Paul drew upon it at the time. There was a time they passed a sentence on Paul, and he reminded them that he's a Roman citizen. And the captain became afraid. You get my point? He suddenly became afraid. Sometimes you hear that an American citizen has been imprisoned in Korea, North Korea. So you expect that it's Mr. Adam Smith. No, it is Jin Chuan Chang. Are you getting my point? He's actually a Korean, but he's an American citizen. So it's an international scandal as far as Americans are concerned. And when you see the fellow's picture, you're surprised. Like, I thought he said American citizen, but this guy looks like a Korean now. Yes, he's a Korean, but he's also an American citizen. So they get up and they come to his aid, you know. If you have to go and fight to get him out, they will do that if it's necessary, okay? Because he's their citizen. So that's the way life is. So people generally brag on their citizenship. And that's the reason why human beings do what they do a lot of times. If you hear that a man is an American citizen and he's a Nigerian, you look at him, you know, with a bit of, unless you have my kind of spirit, in which I don't care, unless you are heaven citizen, that is when I have special respect for you. Okay? But an average Nigerian will look at you like, oh boy, are you serious? How did you manage? Did you win Visa Lottery or Visa Lottery won you? Which one of the two? You know, or, and it's even more interesting when he tells that, oh, no, my, I was born there. Are you serious? That means one day you can be American president. Respect, instant respect. And that's what the Bible was saying here. He said, when I mention Philistia, I mention Egypt, I mention Tyre, along with Ethiopia, people brag on it and say, this one was born there. Are you getting the point? That's what I want you to understand. That's what he was talking about. People brag on these things. But that's not where we want to sit. The next thing he said is what's interesting. He said, of Zion it shall be said. Of Zion it shall be said. This one was born in her. What was he saying here? This is a prophetic word of God. That the time will come, and that is the time we are in right now, that what will make somebody proud, in reality, spiritually speaking now, what will make somebody a person to admire is the fact that the fellow can, you know, boast,
beat his chest and say, I was born in Zion. And this Zion here is standing for the church of Christ. It's standing for the body of Christ on the earth. It stands for the church of God. Remember, I said at the beginning, I'm talking to Christians. By faith, we understand that things that are spiritual are real. We know that these things are not jokes. We're not saying them to make ourselves feel happy. We are saying them because they are real. Let me explain something to you. You know, there was something that Jesus said once. He looked at Peter and said that, if I wanted to be delivered, don't you think I would have asked the Father to send me 12 legions of angels? You understand? Now, what was he saying? Now, let me just apply it to what we are discussing today. That I'm a citizen of heaven. If I need to, I will call upon the resources of my homeland, and they will come and defend me. You are getting what I'm trying to explain here. That's what the matter is. That is what the matter is. That is, it is something to brag on. It is something to be proud of. Remember, we're talking about how to bless your descendants. Therefore, and let me not sit on this one too much. Let me quickly get it down to what we want to talk about. Therefore, if we indeed are people of understanding, if we indeed are believers in Christ Jesus, we should be more interested, do you understand my point, in establishing that our children were born in Zion than being born anywhere else in the world. It makes no difference whether those children naturalized, because there are two births we have to experience on this earth. There's a natural birth. That one you can be born, like I said at the beginning, in Nigeria, in Liberia, in Swaziland, in Lebanon, you know, anywhere. It makes no difference. But you have to be born somewhere, naturally speaking. But because we are of faith, we understand that that is inferior to the spiritual birth that you will experience. I'm talking about to bless my children. What is more important, therefore, is that I do everything in my power to ensure that one day I can point to all my children and say, this one was born in Zion. I ended last time by explaining the principle. Well, point out something, the mistake people make. People, because they are earthly minded, they mind the things on the earth. They will invest money. I've seen them do it. Invest money, energy, stress, everything. Why? The man is working in Nigeria. Many they are not planning to leave. But he said, let my children go and live in Canada. That's the rainy one. Please, if you hear me using Canada, it's the rainy one. No, Nigerians always have the one that's raining. When I was much younger then, UK was the main thing. Then later on, United States joined. You understand? And then the most recent I know is Canada. And what are people looking for? They are looking for an established structure, an established society. Remember I started by telling this particular story? That because that is trying to bring out a principle, we watch TV, and or you travel a few times, and you saw the roads are good. You were there for some time, light didn't go off. And generally we have this, listen, the men who control the news, they tell you the good thing. In fact, they say things the way they perceive it. If you watch Christian news as an example, and they want to analyze Europe and maybe what a lot of the so-called first world countries now, Christian TV often, they focus on godlessness and they make you fear. Just that you can download to your device, Charisma News. Every time they rule against the conservative view of marriage is there. They will tell you where America are going to. You understand my point? There are people who, I don't know whether it's true or false, but I've heard reports, who are already leaving the United States to go to somewhere in South America because they believe that the strong persecution of the church is going to come. The story where I read it, we were analyzing the second prophecy. If you've read the book, The Happiest People on Earth, then Moshe Kayan talked about the boy prophet, all right, who wrote a prophecy that brought them to the United States, all right, and there was another one he wrote that was sealed. And people have been trying to find out what's inside that one, and they were not supposed to open it. If I didn't know whether it's been open till now, but nobody's supposed to open that prophecy until the time that they are told to open it. Some have thought, I don't know whether it's accurate, that what is inside that prophecy is that the great persecution of that country against Christians is coming in that country. Because that was what took them out of Armenia. And that God gave them another set of directions where their descendants should go. Whether they know it or not, I don't know. But some people have thought that they're supposed to go to somewhere in South America. And don't forget, when they came to the United States, it was not as prosperous as it is today. It wasn't. But they came there by prophecy. Now, I'm not going to bring out an issue here. So, if you have been minding, if you don't mind spiritual things, if you just watch, just buy Forbes, Newsweek, Time Magazine, you watch the common things going around, if you mind the things of this earth, based on that, there are countries that are more beautiful than others. But I'm emphasizing that we are Christians, we think differently. We recognize that nothing temporal is permanent. That's why it's called temporal. But when I use that word temporal, actually, I was thinking of physical. Anything you see that's physical is not permanent. Things can change. In one generation, you won't recognize a country anymore. Because of your understanding, therefore, all right, as spiritual people, you are concerned about your descendants. So you want to establish for them a citizenship that is sure. Don't let what you see physically deceive you. God has his people everywhere. And listen, anybody can be destroyed anywhere if God is not with the person. That's a matter of fact. So if you are concerned about how will my children be established, you are a child of God, ensure that they are born in Zion. I was saying this, I said it before, still part of what I'm going to explain now. When people look only at natural things, they do not make allowances, you understand my point, for ensuring that their children have a strong spiritual foundation. Like I said, and I keep on emphasizing so that people will not misunderstand me. There are good people everywhere. There are good Nigerians who live in Canada. There are good Nigerians who live in the United States. There are good Nigerians who live in Nigeria. You understand my point? There are good Ghanaians in Ghana. There are good Ghanaians in Nigeria. There are good Ghanaians in Australia. There are blessed people everywhere. But I'm emphasizing that it is not the place that makes the person blessed. It is a blessing of God that resides inside the person. So you should be more concerned concerning your children that the blessing of God resides inside them. That is what I'm emphasizing. How do I bless my descendants? These are the things I do for them as a Christian to ensure that my descendants are secure. I do not put my energy in trying to earn him or her a Brazilian passport. Because I hear it's one of the, you know, maybe one of the BRICS countries. Brazil, Russia, which is the other one? Which is I there? Huh?
China.
The I? India. India, okay, yes. China and South Africa. No. I recognize that may be happening now. But by the time that boy is ready to take on the world, they may not be there anymore. But I'm more careful, all right? To ensure that the blessing that makes rich is with him. So when I'm making my plans as a Christian, what should I do? That's why I'm going to explain all of these things. So you want to, people will do it. You want to sit down here, make money, relocate your children far away, and you are turning your wife to a single mother. These are things people are praying against. You have teenage children. You want to be visiting them 3 times a year to tell them you leave your wife to be the one to instruct them in a society where they can call police for her. And what do you think you are doing? You are establishing them a brilliant future. The Lord is good. Let me establish it again before I go into detail about this teaching. I need to emphasize it. Listen to this. God can bless anybody anywhere. Did I hear an amen?
Amen?
Let me say it again. God can bless anybody anywhere.
Amen.
If God is with your children, anywhere they are, they will be above, they will not be beneath.
Amen.
Say amen like you believe it.
Amen.
These are, because these are prophetic words. Listen, Your children will be in the midst of Americans, Europeans, of any country there. And they will be above and they will not be beneath.
Amen.
It will happen that people from all over the world will be asking them to come and help them in their own area of endeavor. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God does these things regularly. It's not a new thing. There's no point sitting out here telling stories. This is what he does all the time. Where you were born naturally, it's not an advantage as far as God is concerned. What matters to him is, were you born again into Zion? That is a label that's important. When God wants to manifest his blessing in the life, in the lives of your children. Therefore, what do you need to do as a parent? Whatever you have to do, ensure that you are leading them in that direction. When they are young, they are under your own influence. Sometimes when I hear parents say that, I've heard people say that somebody, a child gave his life to Christ when he was five. I'm one person that I don't believe it. I'm sorry. That's why even Catholics, they do confirmation. They baptize you when you are an infant. But they know that this infancy is your father they baptized, not you. In fact, that's why they gave you a godfather, Abby. Is that what they call the person?
Yes.
The guy who's standing there, when they ask, do you renounce Satan? He says yes on your behalf. You don't even know who Satan is. Your whole life is between sucking and sleeping. The worst evil you can do is bite your mother. God cannot send you to hellfire for anything. For what? For biting. He will not. I'm going to tell them that a child gave his life to Christ at the age of five. Listen, I can make all my children give their lives to Christ at any age. It's simple. All of you line up. Say after me. If I don't have to use the key, I'll just explain to you, Jesus died for your sins. Amen. Do you want to live for Christ? He said, yes. All right, say after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for dying for my daddy's sins. He's the one that's committing. He's the one that's committing now. What can a four-year-old do? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you want to do that for me, go and convert a Muslim child at 4 years. I'll believe you. As long as your own children, my brother, forget that invest. All right? No, in fact, I don't want to go into it. It's in the scriptures. It's your life they are living now. It's your life they are living while they are small. But that's exactly the time you start leading them. That was why God, just to confirm what I'm saying, I've been joking about some things, but that's why God was, when he was punishing people in the wilderness, he put a cutoff point, 20. You know why he didn't punish those who were below 20? He said it's not them. They're just echoing what their parents are saying. He said, so just leave them. But once they cross that particular age, he said, I don't care the amount of influence that you want to blame. I gave you the choice, the chance to make your own choice. That's why I wrote the book, Choice is Key to Destiny. In the early parts of your life, what you are is a reflection of the influences around you. But no matter who you are, God will at a point in time give you the chance in life to make your own choices. You make your own decisions. Those looking from outside may still think it's your parents, but it is because you have chosen to obey your parents. You chose their godly influence. Are you getting my point? Now, this is what I'm going to emphasize, the role of the parents. At that, in the early stages, that's why you start training the child in the way that he should go. And it is not, listen, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They are always mighty through God. The rod is good, but the rod does not bring salvation. It only drives out foolishness. You must understand it. Foolishness is bound. The rod can drive it far away. It does not bring in wisdom. It removes foolishness and leaves a vacuum. Wisdom is not a default setting. It's not if you remove foolishness, wisdom will be there. No. You remove foolishness, the place is empty. By instructions, you now start pouring in wisdom. That's how it is. By instructions, you start pouring in wisdom. But my emphasis is that you also have to do that with prayer and constant prophesying. Every evil that is in the society, you curse them in the lives of your children. you prophesy specifically against sagging. When you see children sagging, say, in the name of Jesus, my children will not sag their trousers. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
It's a sign of modern day foolishness. Who wants to look at your boxers? Now, I just said that one to explain a point. Every evil in the society, you prophesy against it. Every evil in the society, you lay and, in fact, let me tell you something, you do it in front of them so that they know what you are prophesying against. That is why, listen, I like what our brother said. He said, you go home to family, you don't visit them. Can I say, I see my family 4 times a year. And you're their father. It's not good. What did I say?
It's not good.
It's a bad thing. And a bad thing is a bad thing. What am I emphasizing? The fact that we set... Look, we're talking about how to bless our children. How to pray for our descendants. It's not just about getting a prayer sheet and reading things out. That's why I'm doing all of this in this school of prayer to so that each person understands what it is that they are doing. What you do is to set your children, explain the gospel to them, not just by mouth now, but also by prayer. I said something last time, we should, well, for time's sake, I won't bother reading, but this is Ephesians chapter 1, verse, beginning from around verses 16, 17, all right, that we pray a lot. Well, let's just read it. Just, you can get it. Paul started talking from verse 15. He said, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God, this is a prayer now, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. Let me just stop here, all right, because of time. Now, this is one prayer that we were taught, one of the earliest lessons I learned when I started studying the scriptures, all right, those is when we were on campus. I'm bringing out the issue here that we're taught to pray for ourselves so that we will understand the word of God. And I'm applying it this time around. It's one prayer you must also pray for your children. That's one thing you must bear in mind. You pray them also for your children. How do I pray for my children? I pray that they will understand the gospel, not just follow daddy to church. I pray that they will understand the truth of this gospel, not just follow mommy in prayer meeting. I will sit down with the Lord and ask, dear Father, these children that you have given me, you know, Jesus said something, that of all the people you gave me, I didn't lose anyone, apart from Judas, the son of perdition, that is, you knew he was a bad boy. It was not my responsibility, just kept him there for the usefulness thereof. He said, I've lost none. That is, it is possible also for parents to be like Jesus Christ and not lose any of their children, if they do it right. It is possible for parents not to lose any of their children. It is possible. A lot of people assume, listen, Christianity is one religion that's actually not hereditary. You can't inherit Christianity. You can't. You can inherit church going. I mean, one day I met him, in fact, it's my landlord, it's currently the house I live in, he owns the house, all right? One day I was talking with him, that's after I started living in his house, and we saw and we discussed some things. I've told the story here before. One of the things, he asked me the church I was going, I told him. And he said, what is wrong with you people? What has been wrong with you people? That he has been to our church that we don't preach born again. Not here. That's not my point. He said, what is wrong with you people? That has gone around Enugu, gone to many churches. He mentioned only one church. I think I remember his second one. That's the only place where he hears them emphasize that people need to be born again. Why did I tell the story? He said that, well, that he was born. His father was a bishop, an Anglican bishop. So he said that it was while he was in his 50s that he became a Christian. Yet his father was an Anglican bishop. He said he did not know too. That's what he said. That was when his daughter went to university. His daughter came back home one day with her friend. And they sat him down and explained to him that he was not born again. And he needed to be born again. And he was 50-something. So you can go to church. It does not make you a Christian. Like they say, just like being in a cage does not make you a chicken. You can be in a garage, doesn't make you a car. If you decide to sleep in your bathtub, doesn't make you fish. You are still a human being. Going to church does not make you a Christian. You become a Christian by conscious decision to follow Jesus Christ. That's how it is. You become a Christian. The man was talking to me that day. He said he did not know. So he was saying that, look, you, because if I found out that I was a preacher and we were talking, he said, look, you young, you should emphasize the fact that people need to consciously give their lives to Christ. He said, people were talking about him in their churches then. That, can you imagine, this man now says he's just getting born again, and they were laughing at him. He said, they did not understand. He said, he too did not understand until that point. So when we were saying that, how can I say he just gave his life to Christ? After all, his father was a bishop. He said he never did. He was 50-something years of age when his daughter came from school one day with her friend, and two of them sat him down and began to explain the scriptures to him. And suddenly he realized that this Jesus, I do not know him personally. That's why as parents, we should not assume. A lot of preachers, that's what happened. They are children. You just assume that your child will turn out to be a good Christian. So there's no emphasis in the life of the child. You just assume that once all of us go to church, in fact, sometimes it's pure immunization. What do you call immunization? I heard that one from R.W. Schambach. He said many people have been immunized against the gospel. Like, give them small, they develop a resistance against the real thing. Many times, church going as a habit is pure immunization. You want your children to do well in life, what God is counting, this one was born in Zion. Therefore, you have to bear this in mind when you are relating with them. The fact that they grew up in a Christian home does not mean they will automatically turn out to be born in Zion. So it becomes a prayer point for each one of them. It becomes a prophetic matter over the head of each child. Not your father bless us in this home, give us food. That's not the issue. One day you get up on each one of them. In fact, good enough, children are normally not many. Even if you like born like one man in my place, they are 200. Yes. Was the traditional ruler. They are 200. No, I'm not kidding. He had not 200, actually. That's a joke. He had over 200. That's the correct thing. You thought I was going to revise it downwards. The man, no, I'm serious. Now, so even if you had 200 children, I'm going to have an issue here. That's even if you take one day, you'll be through with them in a year. But most of the time, we don't have that many. We don't have that many. I'm going to have an issue here. You can even take them one by one and plead before the Lord concerning their salvation as they grow up. God knows the age. You can't determine it. Children will obey you. You can make an area boy repeat after you. Yes, it's true. So that's why this matter, you can't, look, it's only God you can beg. And my teaching this evening is that you must do that begging. In quote, you must do that supplication. You must kneel down and take them one by one. In fact, it is even best of all to remember it before you get married, before you have children. Say, God, all the Judases, none of them in my house. Anyone you want to use to betray Jesus, send him to Shekau and people like that. That don't send any armed robber into my house. No criminal, no jaguda. Every child that you never conceive or you never even marry, you're already saying to God, see, let's just arrange this thing. Now pray, I pray. I know you need some Judases on this earth. Yes, I'm just saying they are not here. No, it's a simple, and God will not believe me. Trust me. He will honor that.